Our help and our only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keep his truth forever and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace be unto us and peace from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, he is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Next we'll turn to the epistle of Paul to the Philippians. So Philippians chapter 3, and we'll read the whole chapter together. Philippians 3, beginning with verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us unite in prayer. O Lord, what a miracle that we were able to come to this place this morning. What a great miracle, O Lord, that Thou hast made a separation between us and between those who are not in church. Church, that means those who are called out. Ecclesia, called from the world, set apart, to be a special people, to be children of the kingdom of God, people who have to show in their lives, who have to give evidence in their lives of belonging to that kingdom. Where Christ has dominion. O Lord, we pray Thee that our King may have the place in the center this morning. Because it is of Him that we are here this morning. It is because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in heaven, who sitteth at the right hand of the Father, to make intercession, to be there as an advocate, watching, looking down, gathering his church, protecting his church, feeding his church. O Lord, we are called this morning to say something good of that King. And Lord, only we can say something good of that King if we know that King. And only, O God, we can understand when we say something about Him, when we know Him. O Lord, we pray Thee that the Spirit of Christ may be with us this morning. As what Jesus told them, that the Spirit is among you, or is within you. Or we need the Spirit among us, but also we need Thy Holy Spirit within us. So that we may understand the inspired Word. The Word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And in order to understand the Word, in order to preach the Word, we need the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Our mind has to be cleared up. O Lord, we need to be led in the truth in order to understand it. O gracious and merciful Lord, be so with us this morning. When we miss all the power and all the strength in ourselves to say something about Thee, to say something concerning the truth. O Holy Spirit, be present, be in our hearts, be in this building, so that the words may have power, so that the word which will be spoken may be salted, so that there may be life, that the word may be a living word, that the word may be food for our souls. Thou knowest what we need, O Lord, everyone in particular. Thou knowest our hearts. Perhaps there are some who have a reason to give thanks to Thee, for whatever reason. Perhaps there are some in our midst who are crying who are in distress for whatever reason. Perhaps there are longing souls in our midst this morning who are convinced by thy Holy Spirit of the lost condition of their souls. Perhaps they prayed this morning. They went on their knees this morning, asking for grace, but also, O Lord, for thy people who are poor and needy. O Lord, and when they are not poor and needy, then we pray thee that they are be made poor and needy in order to receive, to come with empty hands. O Lord, thy people, they have to learn day by day, Lord's day after Lord's day, never having something of themselves, but always receiving. Oh, the church lives, can only live by all what they receive. The church cannot live by all what they produce of themselves, because that is nothing. We cannot bring forth any good. O Lord God in heaven, be with us this morning. For knowest all the circumstances of our lives. We pray thee, O Lord, for every family, that the blessings of thee may be upon them. We pray for their fathers, for the mothers. We pray also for the single ones in our midst. O Lord, be with them too. Thou knowest all our desires, the desires of the youth. O Lord, remember them. Give them a place where they can lay all their desires. Lord, grant us the grace that we may bring everything before thee. But also give us the grace that we may leave it there. So many times, O Lord, we bring it to thee, but we take it again. But give us the grace that we may leave all our sorrows, all our difficulties, all our desires, all our needs, that we may leave it with thee. O Lord, give us the grace to wait. Give us the grace, O Lord, for thine answer. All the questions we have, all the desires we have. So many times, O Lord, we do not understand thy ways. So many times we go ways what we not understand, and so many times we ask, Lord, why is it this way? Oh, give us to believe that only thy ways are the right ways, thy ways are good. But give us also to understand that thy ways are always against the flesh. And we have to learn that day by day. And only we can learn this when we live close to thee. There is no other way. Lord, if we do not live close with thee, then we are upset. If we do not live close with thee, we do not understand thee. That our lives may be like Enoch and Abraham who walked with thee. Or when a child lives close to the parents, they know a lot about the parents. And also the decisions what the parents make. But Lord, when we live far away from thee, then we do not understand thee. And then we are so many times upset. O Lord, we pray thee for this congregation. Give them thy blessings. We pray thee for the consistory. Give them thy guidance and give them thy Holy Spirit in leading them, so that they may be able to lead this flock. Remember also the church, O Lord, as a whole. Our denomination, but all the churches, the other churches. Remember the churches on the mission fields. The church is in persecution. Thy covenant people, the Jewish nation, Lord, remember also this nation, that the re-elected president may receive all what is necessary to lead this country and also to lead this world. O Lord, it's such a miracle that he is re-elected, that the world knows that he is recognizing thee, O God, as the supreme ruler and judge. O Lord, we pray that he may receive all the wisdom, that all the enemies may be silenced. O Lord, give him to pray for wisdom, because he has his own heart too, which is full of pride. He needs also the Holy Spirit to humble him, to make him dependent on thee. O Lord, remember every one of us. Bless thy word today. Give us love to one another, that thy word may do everything what we need. O Lord, we pray thee that this day may be a day which will not easily be forgotten, not because of a man is standing here, but because of thy word. O Lord, we pray thee that man may fall away. We are just nothing. That we may be like John the Baptist. He did not mention his name, but he was only a voice. O Lord, grant us grace this morning, so that we may come on the right spot, that the congregation may be humbled before thee, but also that the preacher also may be humbled to be nothing, but only thy voice. We pray for this blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Congregation, when Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, he is in prison. Is it not remarkable that Paul, who is in prison for 4 years already, that he is speaking in this letter 14 times about joy and rejoice? That's not normal, we would say. How can it be most of the people who are in prison don't speak about joy and rejoice and rejoicing? But Paul does, congregation. It's a clear sign for in his life that something happened in his life. A big change came in his life. Because otherwise he would not have been able to speak about joy and rejoicing. It's also a remarkable, congregation, that Paul is focused on his work. He was called by God to be the apostle of the Gentiles. And it was his life. His life was a sacrificial life. His life has been very fruitful, even when he was in prison. What can we learn, congregation? That it is not the devil who rules, but God rules. And God gave Paul the opportunity, the possibility, to be fruitful even when he is in prison. And he wrote this letter to the Philippians. It was a city, a very important city. And he wrote those letters. It was a very personal letter. It is the most personal letter. The letters to Timothy and Titus are also personal, but those are written to a person. But this is the most personal letter written to a congregation. He loved the congregation of the Philippians. And this was also a congregation with love. There was love. When there is love in the congregation, then there is something from God in the congregation. How is it with us, congregation? the love of God is, when the love of God is in our hearts, then we will show it. We cannot keep it for ourselves. The Greek word is agape. Agape, that means sacrificial love. This in contrast to erotic. Of how do you call it? That is love. That is love for yourself. But agape, that is love. You show love. You are there for the other. And that is what Paul shows in this letter. We took the text verses this morning from Philippians chapter 3, the verses 8 and 9. And there we have three important things, keywords. The first one is knowledge. In verse 8, Paul speaks, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus." The first thought of consideration is knowledge. And the second, and we continue with reading, "To whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." The first key word is the loss. And then we continue, "But dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." So we see here the gain. So three thoughts. The first one, the knowledge, the loss, and the gain. Paul started, when we say something as an introduction to this whole chapter, in the first three verses, if you have read with me or with the elder carefully, then we see in the first three verses a kind of an introduction. Paul here, and especially in verse 3, he says what true worship, what that means. In verse 3 he says that beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. There's an antithesis, a contrast. Because Paul, during his ministry, his enemies were in the church, there were enemies outside the church, but most of the enemies were inside the church. And he counts those false teachers who were teaching the congregations the Jewish ceremonies, the Old Testament ceremonies, Paul is calling them dogs. And he mentioned here about the concision. Concision, that's a different word as circumcision. We all know that the circumcision, what that means in the Old Testament, it was a sign of the seal of the covenant. But Paul says that we are of the circumcision. He meant the circumcision of heart. That in contrast to those Jewish teachers who taught the circumcision in the flesh. But Paul is saying it's concision. What does that mean? They harm the flesh. That is what Paul really meant. You harm the flesh. He says those harm the flesh. They do violence to the body. When you circumcise yourself. Or when you circumcise your children. So he doesn't call it circumcision. But concision. You do something violent to your body. And then in verse 3 there he says what true worship is. And he gives us three characteristics. He says in the first place you worship God in the Spirit, not in an outward way, as what the Jewish teachers taught the congregations. You are rejoicing in Christ and you renounce yourself. You have no confidence in the flesh. Thus Paul gives here an introduction. He says it in just a few words what true worship means. Worship God in the Spirit. That means your worship is focused on God and not on something else. And something else can be everything. It can be the church, it can be yourself, it can be your confession, but it is only God. Worship God. And it gives glory to Christ. Rejoicing in Christ. It gives glory to Christ. It's focused on God and it gives glory to Christ. And there is no confidence in the flesh. Renouncing self. You're not renouncing yourself. That's true worship. That is what we read in the first part of this chapter. And in the verses 4 to 14, that Paul is speaking, from 4 to 7 to 6, that Paul is speaking about the law. You will not gain, as what he says in our text verses, you will not gain salvation by keeping the law. He's warning against the law. So first he speaks about true worship, and he starts by saying something concerning Islam, because he was a keeper of the law. We have read it together. So he's warning against the law. You will not gain salvation by keeping the law, he says. But congregation, there's just one part. In the verses 15 down and down, then he's speaking about also the other danger on the other side is antinomianism. And antinomianism, that means against the law. No law. Without law. So Paul is speaking. Paul has always been in balance. Because he knew exactly the danger from the one side, by keeping the law, and also on the other side, to become an antinomian. Because in verse 15 he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it even unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So, and between Paul's section concerning the law and Paul's section concerning antinomianism, he is speaking what real life is. Congregation, we came together this morning. It's Christ alone. And Paul has learned it in his life. But it's such a secret. You have to learn it by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise you will never understand what Paul has said in his letter to the Philippians. You need the Holy Spirit, congregation. And you need also the preaching of the word. And otherwise you never will understand what Paul is saying over here. You are not able to understand. You need the illumination of the Holy Spirit. But Paul is speaking about knowledge. He says, it's only when I know Christ, to make it simple. When I know Christ, when you know Christ, congregation, then you know everything. In principle. Because he says in our text that, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, he says. That a few words that needs our attention. He said, I count all. Not a lot, not 80%. Or 90%, but he says all. And that is what God teaches his people. They lost all yourself, all what you have. And Paul, he had a lot. Paul was able to show a lot what he had done. We have read it in this passage. But it was all, he counted but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Congregation, it is one or the other. It is all Christ or it is something else. And when it is Christ, it has to be Christ for 100%. Otherwise, Christ is not satisfied when you love him just for 80 or for, let's say, for 99%. It's all. And that's most difficult in our lives, congregation. I am sure everyone you like to do a lot. You will give up a lot. But all, that's most difficult in our lives. We like to keep just something. But Paul learned. Why could Paul write this letter to the Philippians when he was in prison. And prisons are not, I have been in prison many times, but prisons are not the same as what we have in our days. It was a hall, it was something almost under the ground. Dark, cold, wet. But he conquered all. He was not speaking about himself, but he was speaking about Christ. He knew by experience, congregation, that you have to give up all in order to gain Christ. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord, it's a knowledge by faith. We will see it later on. But the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to give up all. And he was willing. Don't think, congregation, when the Holy Spirit works in you, you can be against it. You fight against it in the beginning. But God knows, and the Spirit knows, where he will bring you. Because on the day of his power, you are willing. But something needs to be done in your lives to come to that place, to be willing to give up all. We can fight against it, and we do many times, but God knows how to deal with his people. God knows it. For the one people, that goes in an easier way than for another one. It seems to go in an easier way. Don't make the mistake, congregation, that we say, Paul is speaking about his life. Paul was an enemy, but what about Samuel, and what about Timothy, and what about Obadiah? Congregation, don't make the mistake and think that those people, they are converted in a different way. That's not true. Everyone, keep that in your mind, every one of God's people, they experience in their own way, because God's, the Spirit works in a different way. There is a mainstream, but for every person, God deals with everyone in a personal way, but all you have to come, what Paul says, and count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Every one of us. And if it is not this way, congregation, then it is not true in your life when there is something left in you. You can show to other people that you are an humble person, but you know your heart. You know your heart. You know it by yourself. The Spirit will show it to you that you keep still something for yourself. But Paul says, the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of Christ. I give up everything in order to know him, more and more. Later on he speaks about to know him, that I may know him in verse 10, and the power of his resurrection. That continues. When you know a little bit about this dear Savior, congregation, there is a desire in you to know more about this person. The second person of the Trinity. But Paul, he gave up. He gave up everything for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was revealed to him on the way to Damascus. It was revealed to him. It was not Paul who was asking for it, but it was revealed to him. Salvation starts in heaven. Rebirth, you are born from above. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. But it is because God has decided in the never-ending eternity that Paul was counted among the elect. And that's the reason that Jesus Christ came in his life. It starts there, congregation. It starts in heaven. And when it is decided in heaven, then it will happen. It will happen. Sooner or later, it will happen. And all those people, they come to this point, they call all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will happen. You can be sure of that. What was his lost? His lost, to say it in a few words, that was just himself. All what he did, he did it by himself. All what he did was keeping the law. He was brought up in that way. Congregation, other people can bring you up in that way. And Most of us, we do that. We teach our children. Actually, we teach our children the rules, the Christian rules. And sometimes they have a struggle with it. Oh, we teach our children the things what they have to know from Scripture. There are rules. We have house rules. We have rules in the church. And we have to go by the Bible. And I think there is no other way. We cannot say to our children, okay, do what you want. Because I don't like to bring you up in a Christian, in a biblical way. That's not good either. But we have to realize, and our children have also to learn, and we ourselves, we have to learn that there has to come a time in our life that our upbringing is good. And it are the means of grace, don't get me wrong. But you have to lose all your grounds, even your Christian upbringing. You will be very thankful when the Lord comes in your life, and you will be very thankful that you are brought up in this way. But if it concerns to the young people in the old country, in the old nation, in the Old Testament, were also brought up by the law. There's nothing wrong with that. Again, don't get me wrong. But for your personal experience, you have to lose everything in order that Christ is only left. So Paul, he lost everything because he was also brought up in this way, on the feet of Gamaliel. But now he says, it was just, I was an enemy. I have to lose myself. And all the things, all what I have done, I call them just done, that I may win Christ. Congregation, the loss, and what is the gain? When you lose something, then you gain something. We can say, losing is gaining. That happened in Paul's life. And what is this congregation? And now we give more attention to this part from gaining. And we see that in verse 9. That I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which of the law is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That is Paul's gain. Paul's gain is his loss, but also Paul's gain is to be found in Christ. That's the thing, congregation, to be incorporated into him. We must be found in Christ in order to know him. That means salvation, your conversion, conviction, only conviction is not conversion. Because by conviction you are not found in Christ yet. Christ is revealed to him by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. So conviction is not to be found in Christ. You need to be convicted. It is the way to Christ. Christ is making you empty. You are under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. That is the first work of the Holy Spirit. So, but the Holy Spirit works, he came to glorify Christ. The Spirit is not a power in himself, because the Spirit works for the glory of Christ, and the thing in a believer, in an elect person from eternity, the first thing what he does is to convict a sinner in order to make place for the Lord Jesus Christ, to make place for Christ. And the second work of the Holy Spirit is to teach him the righteousness of Christ. So you cannot know the righteousness, you must be found in him, but it is cannot only be that when you know him, then you are found in him. What does that mean, to be found in him? It's like powder in a glass of water. It's like a drop of ink in a glass of water. You never can separate that. To be found in him. That means to become one with him. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching many times when he speaks about to be in him, to believe in him, is always to be one with him. To be one plant with him. One plant. To be founded, to be settled in him. It's like to be found in him, it's like an embryo in the womb of a woman. What does that mean, congregation? That an unborn child cannot live without the mother. There isn't connection. Sometimes the relationship between God's people and the Lord Jesus Christ is compared with marriage life. But it is even more than marriage life, because you can live on your own. If your husband or your wife passes away, then you are able, it's not easy, but you are able to live on your own. But a child, an unborn child, is not able to live without the mother. That is to be found in Christ. To be grounded, to be settled in him. Because he is the only righteous from eternity, congregation. If you need, we will see it later on when we speak about the righteousness which is in Christ. You need the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself freely. Congregation, is that you? Is this your life? That you come to church this morning in order to become one with Christ? We will see it later on, the righteousness of him. And that must be your purpose, congregation, when you came to church this morning, to hear something about Jesus Christ, about the Lord Jesus, about him. What kind of person is Christ? Oh, you know him. You said that's all stuff what you tell us this morning. But he is that spotless Lamb of God. He is the one who said in that eternal council before everything was created, he said to the Father, "Send me." There's not you can love your husband or your wife and you can love your children, but the love of Christ is unsearchable. It's unsearchable. This person, the second person of the Trinity, he said to his Father, "Send me." He said to a Father, "Send me, and I will give my life." Paul is speaking about suffering of all what he had by himself, to lose all his. But if there is one person, if he can speak about a person who was willing to lose everything, then his only person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He loses everything in order to save his people, to save all those who are given to him by the Father. He was revealed. He revealed the love of God. There is a unity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ shows the love of the Father. When you see Christ's congregation, you also see the Father. And this second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus, when he came into the flesh, what did Jesus do, congregation? Just offering himself to a lost and to a poor sinner. He was preaching. He was doing miracles. What was Jesus doing? Trying to draw all the attention to himself. Not because that he became the important person, because he said, "From I came to do the will of my Father." So it is the will of the Father that's your salvation. That is why Jesus was sent, and that is why Jesus was preaching. The majority of the people were not asking for him. But to be Paul, he came to know him by a miracle. And he says, to be found in Christ, that is my desire. I know about him, but I like to know more about him. When you have tasted the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are saved, congregation, when your sins are removed, because then that happens when Christ comes in your life. And when you have a relationship with the Father, because of Christ, then you have a desire to know more about him. You become more and more precious. And that gives you only a longing, congregation, to depart from this world. The more you know, come to know about him, the more you desire to be with him forever and ever. To be found in him, to become one with him, is like what we read in John 15. There we read of the branches and the vine. It's to be found in him, to receive everything from him. That is the only way, congregation. And when you, what is not by doing the works of the law. Everyone who works does not really know the law. We will that see that. In also in this text. If you are working, if you're doing the works of the law, you do not really know the law. All those people who are still working and trying to do something, they do not understand the law. Then you think that you do not understand the hopelessness of the law in order to receive salvation. The righteous of the law, we think we need something. We are spiritual beings. We need something. We all, every one of us, not only because you are brought up in this way, but everyone, every creature, every human being has a certain knowledge of God. So it's in our bloodstream to bring something to please God. But what the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness, what is it, congregation? What is it? What is Christ? What is it if you are in Christ? What does Paul mean when he says the knowledge of Jesus Christ is sufficient and he was willing to give up everything? That is to receive the righteousness of Christ. What does that mean, a congregation? To be just and to be straight. What does the righteousness mean? Paul, he came to know in his life that I am a wretched sinner. Where was Paul looking for? Why does Paul speaking about the knowledge of Christ as the most important thing? Because he needs covering. He needs covering. Paul came to know, not when he was working, in the first part of our chapter, when he was doing everything to show God how good he was. But now he came to know he needs covering. Congregation, when the Spirit comes to you, when you are convicted by the Word and by the Holy Spirit concerning your lost state before God, then you come to know, I need covering. Congregation, you need covering. You need a cover. Something needs to be hidden from you. Like Adam and Eve, they understood covering. Paul, when you are still under the law, why are you working, congregation? You feel you need covering and you try to cover yourself. That's what it is. But now Paul, he came to know that only the righteousness, I need to be covered with an other righteousness. That's the greatest miracle. What can happen in your whole lifetime, to come to know that you need a covering. You need something. We are naked. Adam was naked. And that man who came to the wedding feast in Matthew 22, he was missing that wedding garment, congregation. You are created. You are created to be in that great supper. And you can be there, congregation, when you have a wedding dress. Not a wedding dress what you make yourself, but a wedding dress from someone else. When you are fleshly congregation, the only thing what you can do, the only thing what you have, that is the law. What do you need to know this morning, congregation? And as always, sometimes we say in preaching, how was the sermon? Some people, when we come home, when some family members stay home, they say, how was the sermon? A good sermon. But congregation, a good sermon is always a sermon what goes against the flesh. Always. What is the task from a preacher, congregation? To get your pockets empty. Why do you come to church, congregation? You need food. But your food is to get your pockets empty. Because even the people of God always try to gather something for themselves. It is so in us. We have to hear every Sunday, congregation, that it is only Christ and His righteousness. And that's that always the preaching goes against your flesh. Because you have to leave this church this morning with empty pockets again. Because you need to be dressed, you need to be covered by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul speaks in this chapter, that he's speaking about that he knows the Lord Jesus Christ, but also he has a desire to know more about Him. To know more about Him. That I may be found in Him, and the power of His resurrection, he says in verse 10, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. What is that, the righteousness of Christ? It is imputed, it is reckoned to you, to all His people. It is a strange righteousness that is from someone else. It is not infused, that is the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, and I think many other churches. If it is infused, what is the difference? When it is infused, then it is something in you, and you have to work it out. But when it is reckoned to you, that means it is there for 100%. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is to the full, is use. And it is freely given. Freely given. When it is infused, then you have to build up righteousness. And when it is infused, you have to work it out in your life. And you have to do more in order to become more righteous. But this righteousness, this covering of the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness, it is imputed, it's reckoned to us, it's complete, and it is done. And it is freely given. Why is it given to you? Congregation, it was already in the mind of God before you were created. It was already in the mind of God before everything, anything was created. God's people are from eternity in the mind of God already. So the righteousness was already in store for God's people. But it was worked out during their lives. It was God's choice to give you the righteousness, that covering of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness that comes from above. That comes from heaven. And our problems, every one of us, including myself, that's our problem. That's our problem, congregation, that we do not have enough so many times of that righteousness. Empty hands, only receiving, that's the most difficult part for a Christian. For a true believer, always receiving, always hearing. Perhaps you will ask a question, how can I get this righteousness? When you have understanding, when you are brought up under the true preaching, then you know every one of us, they believe we need the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that. But congregation, is it a burning question for you how to get this righteousness for a child in our midst, for a youth in our midst? Perhaps there are some visitors this morning in our midst. Is that your question? How to get, how to obtain this righteousness? It's only one way. It is the righteousness from heaven, congregation. Why God is involved and sent His Son, and He came freely to this world. Why was this congregation? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says, "For He, that God, made Him to be sin for us, who know no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That is the miracle, congregation. That is what God wants. He sent His Son to be our righteousness, to be covered only with Him. And then what is, and then the first, our text first says, "Not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." What is it? What does Paul mean when he says, "Not my own righteousness which is of the law"? That is the righteousness what he produces. And he was building up that righteousness. He had a good teacher. I mentioned his name already. It was Gamaliel. Paul was doing very well. Paul was doing very well. Congregation, if Paul has been in our church, a member of our church, perhaps we had much respect for him. He would have esteemed him very high, that such a pious person, he never does something wrong. He's always willing to study. He's always in church. He is teaching, or he is learning, he's studying theology. But he was doing it in his blindness. And if God never came in between, intervened in his life, congregation, that Paul would have continued in this way. Perhaps he would have replaced Gamaliel, because Gamaliel was an old man and he was a young man. Perhaps the people, the other Pharisees, have thought, "This is the new teacher. This is promising something to us, to have such a young boy, to have such a man in our midst." Congregation, this happened so many times in the church. Pious people, people with a lot of knowledge, we esteem those people so easily. Because people, they show it in their lives. They know, have a lot of knowledge, and they are legalistic. They are almost against everything. They live far away from the world. They know how it goes, and they know what you have to know. They can explain, congregation, how God converts the people. But there is no knowledge, congregation. If you miss, until the time when Christ came in his life, what happened to Paul? We know that he was blind on the way to Damascus. He was not only physically blind, but also was blind in his heart. What did Paul say? "Who am I thou?" He did not know Jesus Christ. He did not know him. Congregation, how is it with you? Brought up in the Reformed tradition, brought up by the truth, knowing the scriptures, knowing how God converts his people. If this is the only thing, congregation, then you are like Paul before his conversion. Then you are building up your own righteousness. But Paul speaks, "But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God." Christ is the righteousness of God, because he has made sin for us, so that in order that we may receive his righteousness. He is the righteousness of God. Luther, he understood it very well from the first chapter of the letter to the Romans, that he saw, and it was a miracle for him, just in the twinkling of an eye, when the word of God was applied by the Holy Spirit to his soul, then he saw the righteousness of Christ. And if you do not know this congregation, in whatever way you are building up your own righteousness, this is the point. Knowing him. And then you understand what we have said already, that all things, he counted all things for loss and done. It's the righteousness of faith. What is faith, congregation? Faith is like a hose, like the electricity what we have here. We see the light and we don't see the wiring, but the power comes through the wiring and we see the results. Faith is a gift of God, and it is only by faith. Do you see the importance of faith? This, without faith, no one can please God. How do you please God? And now I go against you. I go against you, pious flesh. It's only by faith. For the most of church-going people, it is too easy when you preach only faith. But it is the only way revealed by God. Do you know another way, congregation, to be covered with the righteousness of Christ? Do you know another way? It's only by faith. You receive everything by faith. And that makes faith, without faith you cannot please God. And if you have no faith, congregation, then you do not have the righteousness of Christ. You receive it by faith. It is yours. Is that not easy? Congregation? Is that not easy? Do you understand when we say the freedom which is in Christ? You are set free in him? No, that is what it means. You receive the righteousness of Christ freely by through faith. It's yours. It's yours. By the first act of believing, which is a work of the Holy Spirit, don't get me wrong, you cannot grasp it yourself. A miracle has to happen in your life. But by the first act of faith, the first act of believing in Christ, faith is a gift, but believing is a verb. Believing is what you do. It is not the Holy Spirit who believes. It is a work of the Spirit in you. The Spirit works it in you, enables you to believe. But it is not the Holy Spirit who believes. You believe, not the Holy Spirit. But by this, by true faith, you receive the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, that is enough for all of you. That's enough for eternity. That's enough to be satisfied. Are you satisfied only of having Christ? Is that enough for you? Or do you want more? What do you want more? What can you have more? Be satisfied, congregation. People of God in our midst. That's the only thing you need. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you received by faith. And the Spirit is a witness within you. You can also make a mistake and say, I believe that Christ came to this world. He was sent by the Father and he paid the price and he obtained the righteousness, and by faith we receive his righteousness. So I believe in Christ. Then you forgot this first part what we have heard, that Paul says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. You cannot be found in him without knowing him. You cannot know the righteousness of Christ without knowing Christ. You need a personal relationship with Christ in order you don't have the righteousness of Christ. A personal relationship. First you have to know the person, and then you will receive what he what he is willing to give you. Personal relationship. Is Christ born in you? We speak about Paul. Paul is speaking about his life. It happened to him, congregation. It was revealed to him. He knew Christ. With the righteousness of Christ, do you have enough, congregation? When you have only Christ? It's not nothing to do with easy believism. Nothing. But it is just the hardest part also for God's people to leave this church this morning and only say, I have enough, I have enough. I am empty. My pockets are again made empty this morning. I have nothing to trust in myself. I have nothing to trust in whatever nice confession we have in the church. But only it is Christ. It is called in verse 9, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In a way we can say it is very easy. Do you see the grace of God, congregation, that God will give you the righteousness of Christ, which is his righteousness, only by faith? Only by faith. You don't need to go to a certain place, as what some people think, they have to go to Jerusalem, or what the Muslims teach, you have to go to Mecca, to a certain place. No, you can stay where you are, under the preaching of the Word of God, under the power of the Holy Spirit. It is only by true faith. That's resting, trust, that's confidence. That's what Paul says in verse 3. Do you remember? Not having confidence in the flesh, but only trusting him. What is the law? Now, one thing more about the righteousness. The righteousness of the law is the righteousness of Christ that fulfills the requirements of the law. You have to understand. Paul did not understand before he was converted. You think, when you are a churchgoer, faithfully brought up in the Reformed doctrine, without grace, you think that you can fulfill the requirements of the law. And that's your greatest mistake, congregation. That's your greatest mistake. Perhaps you are the most pious people from whole Grand Rapids. Let us assume that for a moment. But did you have once one wrong thought about your neighbor? Did you see a woman what you desired when you walked on the street? Then you are lost forever. That is what the law teaches us. When we listen to the commandments every Sunday morning, but do you know what the law says? To love God above all and your neighbors as yourself, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. No one of us is able to fulfill and to fulfill these requirements. But Christ could. So the righteousness of Christ, it covers, it fulfills all the requirements of the law. Only his righteousness. And that's the reason that God can only accept you to be covered with this righteousness. Only holy people go to heaven. Many say sinners can go to heaven. That's not true, a congregation. Because if you have the righteousness of Christ, then your sins are removed, right? If God sees any sin in you, you do not fit for heaven. Only righteous people, having received the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that time on, Paul, he lost himself, he was in prison, we said it already. But from that time on, he was continued that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He's speaking about life now. Now he's speaking about life because he said the power of, of his resurrection, that Christ was risen from the dead to be the first fruit. And that was life. He left dead behind in the grave. And Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of Christ, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. As Paul says, to say it simple, I know Christ my Savior. I know about his righteousness. I really understood that only his righteousness, the righteousness of my dear Savior, I can stand before God without fear. But he said, there is so more to know about him. And now from this time on, that will be my life. To praise him, to bring him, to preach him. We can see it in all his letters to all the congregation. It's only Christ, congregation. It's only Christ. The question, do you have enough when you know Christ? Or do you have enough on Christ? You say, if I have Christ, then I have enough. I need to know this only thing, what I need to know. But also it says on the other side, if you miss him, congregation, then you miss the righteousness of Christ. Then the requirements of the law. And read the law. When you listen to the law every Sunday morning, or when you read it at home, then it is asked of you. God will ask you. God will ask you the questions. And you will not be able to give one answer. You will not be able, like that man who came to that wedding feast, but from what we read in Matthew 22, and that master asked him, how did you come in? You do not belong to us. Because it is a uniform congregation. It is like the uniforms of the soldiers. They are all the same. Do you have these garments? Are you covered, congregation? That's the question. Go home with this question. Are you covered? If you are not covered, congregation, then you are in great danger. Because the king can ask you to come before his judgment seat any moment. When you have not this wedding dress, and Jesus is willing to give it, he's willing. Don't think he will not give it. He's willing. He's willing to give it. What does Jesus say? What was his preaching? What was the preaching? What did Jesus start with his preaching, with his ministry? And John the Baptist and all the apostles. Repent. Repentance. Turning to him. Repentance. One story. I visited a prison last week, and an inmate, he spoke about God and about his life. I asked him the question, he said, did you ever confess your sins before God? And he was looking at me. I said, no one told me. Do I have to confess my sins before God? He said, I thought when we believe in God that is enough, but confessing my sins. He said, thank you. But is it possible for me that God can forgive my sin? He said, the Bible says it. That is a congregation. Repent, whatever you have, in whatever way you have been brought up. But repent, all those who are unconverted in our midst. Not knowing Christ. Not knowing what Paul says, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Those who cannot say my Lord, repent, congregation. Turn to God. Confess it before him. Perhaps the Lord will show his mercy to him, because he is gracious and he is merciful. It is not his desire that you go to hell. It's not his desire. But repent and believe. What must we do on the day of Pentecost? When Peter was preaching, men and brethren, what must we do? Repent and believe. The jailer to Paul and Silas, what must I do? Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message. That's the message. It's also that I let you go this morning for all those who are not yet covered with this strange righteousness, with the foreign righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. Repent. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, press the words in our hearts. Let us go home. And let us be serious. Let us meditate upon thy word, what we have heard this morning. Two ways, two possibilities. Converted or unconverted. Saved or not yet saved. In Christ or outside Christ. Having our own righteousness or having the righteousness of someone else. The righteousness of Christ, one or the other. No way in between. O Lord, be merciful to this congregation. Be merciful to them, O Lord. Or wilt thou bring in the strangers? Thou hast promised in thy word that thou wilt bring in the strangers, those who stand from far. O Lord, give by thy grace that those in our midst, why unconverted, oh, give them by thy grace to repent. Draw them by thy Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ. Lord, do a miracle in our midst. Remember also the youth in our midst. Their hearts are so soft. They are so young, O Lord. Remember them. Paul was not young anymore. He was a young man, but he was not a child anymore when he was converted. His heart was so hardened already. O Lord, remember us all. Bring us together in the afternoon when we will start with the preaching of the catechism, the book of comfort. O Lord, enable us. O Lord, remember us. Leave us not over to ourselves, but come and remain with us, so that thy name may be glorified, and that sinners may experience the joy and the peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son. In his name we pray. Amen.